rejoicing in what you have done with the men, but we want this fire to be contagious and catch fire with everyone in here and through the churches, Lord God. We thank you for your truth that is able to set us free, and we thank you for the disciplines to keep us free. We ask that your word just penetrate our hearts today. Convict us, Holy Spirit, of the areas that we've been slothful in. Convict us in the areas that you want to perfect in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we started to learn a little bit about God's love. As you come into the building, you know, our mission, our vision statement is out there. Love God, love people, love life. And that's what we're doing. I'm trying to enlighten people to the truth of Jesus Christ is really synonymous with that. We don't have the capacity in our humanness way, in our human nature, to love God the way He wants us to love Him. But I can promise you this, that as we strive to love Him, He will immediately start working with us to make loving people, as He loves people, important to us. For only then will we be able to love life together. We learned last week that Jesus is the truth to our salvation. We also learned that in that salvation, He is the way to bring us to God. And we also learned that without God, we don't have life. To have life is to enjoy each other and God. God in the midst of it. Amen? If you would put Mark 12 up, please. Jesus said, the first is important is, listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. So love the Lord God with all your passion, with all your prayer, with all your intelligence, with all your energy. And here is the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other great other commandment that ranks with these. And if you notice, it's the Message Bible. I want us to try to understand where we are and how much work we have to do. We come here and we announce that we love God. But the requirement is so much more than the way that we are. And so we touched on that a little bit last week. We also looked at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. We also learned what love is. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut or become proud. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. And of course, it talks about the spiritual aspect. Irene and I have personally tried to live this and thank God for the Holy Spirit, because we have learned that this is a description of God Himself. And without His Holy Spirit, we cannot even begin to start to love Him. We have covenant together and try to live in a judgment-free zone. We don't judge people. Although you guys are better looking than I am, so that's my call. But we want to understand that love is more than just words. It's an attitude. It's expressed through action. And we learn that God's love has our best intentions. No matter what. No matter how we misbehave. No matter how we reject Him initially. Think about it for a second. Those of us who have kids, how would you feel if you made promises to your kids and they rejected them? I don't need that. I don't want that. You're rotten. You're too strict. You're this, you're that. How would you feel? We do that to our Father in heaven. That's not to make us feel down. It's just we're still in this natural nature. And for us to get past this, we truly need His Holy Spirit to teach us, to change us from the inside out. When He was showing me today that He wanted to set people free, some people were saying, well, I don't feel anything. And you won't. Because it's not about your feelings. It's about truth. And how you operate in truth. You know, the biggest thing that we heard, and much of it was through Pastor Joe, about deception. We deceive ourselves to the truth. We agree with the enemy. And I've said to individuals, you got to start agreeing with what God says. We heard so much good teaching. I felt like this is what we're covering. This is where we're at. You know, we must remind ourselves continuously. You know, people want heavy revies and stuff like that. Well, you will get heavy revies when we start doing what's been commanded of us. We went to John, the 21st chapter, when Jesus was restoring Peter. And we all remember Peter denied the Lord, even knowing he was there, or even being His disciple. And Jesus asked a question. He asked it three times, but the first question contained the importance of everything. And I asked you guys last week to personalize these questions. Question one, do I love Jesus more than others do? Do I love Jesus? And all of us can say we love Jesus. But that's not what He's talking about. He's asking each and every one of us to go deeper, to commit more than what we've committed, because it's all His anyway. He's asking us to a full-fledged commitment. Ken came up to me and we had a session about spiritual fathers. And he said to me, he says, will you be my spiritual father? He understands what that means now. Many of you assume falsely that we will give you the deeper things of God. Ken understands about the commitment that's required. God's love is summed up in one word, and it's not commitment, but it is sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice all for Him? Because until we do, our marriages will fall apart. Our finances will be askewed. Our foundations will be shaken. We will become ensnared to sin. We will remain lazy, slothful to the disciplines. You cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ without understanding it is a disciple is a disciplined life. And that's where Pastor Hodges was talking about, alluding to, about us every day. It's not so much, woe is me, I don't have time. He said, our excuses set us up for failure. Our excuses. So whatever your excuse is, you can keep it or jettison it to press through. I'm resigned to the fact that I'm only going to invest my life into people who want it, who truly want it. And those who understand what I'm talking about have gone through most of the things that I have designed in such a way to test them, to make sure that they are faithful in what I have given to them, because I have to answer to God. Do I love Jesus more than I love other people? I love my wife. I'm not going to hell for her. I love my children. I love God supremely. And so I'm on a different track that God's taking me deeper. Deeper. And I thought at the beginning it would get easier. It's getting harder. Because He wants all of me. He wants all of you. And just to express, I love God, I commit all this to you. He's going to test you in what you say. He's going to discipline you. I said to an individual years ago, I said, it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything you got to follow Jesus Christ. If you don't want that, go back into the world and sin. I don't care. I know what His standard is for us. And I know where I'm going. You're not going to hold me back. You're going to hold yourself back. If you're willing to die, then let's lock arms and go forward. This is not a picnic. This is the reality of life. We're not treating Christ here as a Sunday going God and live the way we want to or the way the devil has designed it. There is a reality to what we have set. We have a standard and we're not going to compromise it. No matter how much people beg and plead us to change. We're only changing more for His glory, not for less. Jesus said, if you love father, mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, more than me, you are even not worthy of the kingdom. I need His Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. I need His Holy Spirit to get out of my flesh to love like He loves. Slowly but surely, God is working in my life that I love you guys like He loves. I'm committed to your highest good, no matter how you respond, no matter how you behave. I'm learning what agape means. because I want more. I want more of God. I want it to be said that Gary Stiles was a man of God, a true man of God. I want you, the people of God, to truly love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your body. And today we're going to cover that, what it looks like. And finally, Jesus said to Peter, and personalize it, do I love Christ more than my stuff? And we have a lot of stuff in the church. I would say the Church of America has forgotten that materialism is a sin. It's an idol. And that giving of these things will set us free. But what has happened is people through various generations tend to look at things in a way that if I remain poor, people will feel sorry for me and give me what I need. That's not happening anymore. At least not here. One of the things I stress in discipleship is personal responsibility. I do. You're responsible for you. I am not. God is the supplier of all things. We are not. But He will stir our hearts to help, not support. And most people don't understand that. They view the church. And I remember years ago we had a woman come in here and she looked ordinary like us. She said she needed help. So of course, Irene and I, we dug out our last sum of money to help get her food. Later that week, Irene's driving through town, and here's this woman, she's dressed to the nines. And she's got somebody else paying for food. I said, that's not going to happen. I love people, but not reaching into my pocket. That's not the way of the Lord. She didn't learn stewardship. She learned how to fleece the flock of God. And I pray that God blesses her. Saying those critical things, today I would like to build a little bit more on that. And that was just our intro last week. I want to build on that because we have to learn the rules of life. Jesus was busy answering the question of the man, what is the greatest commandment? And of course he broke it down. He was quoting Deuteronomy 6:4. But all the Jews understood that Genesis 6:4, 5, 6, and 7 is part of a section of scripture in Deuteronomy that they pray day and night. It's called the Shema. You understand that? Okay, that's my free gift to you. It's called the Shema. And really, what Jesus was saying, he was quoting that because the Jews understood that. He was bringing them back to the basics. There's no law that's greater than knowing God, loving God with everything that He has made us to be. And then He broke it down to love your neighbor as yourself. He taught this guy the basics and the meanings of what it was in Scripture. And of course, these people thought keeping the law was more important than developing a relationship with God. And we see that God established this over 2,000 years ago before Christ came. He explained that the relationship, not the laws, was more important. And next week we're going to learn about who's our neighbor. Because if we can begin to start turning our focus on a God, we can allow His Spirit to use us to love each other. Amen? Jesus explained to him, and Paul has written it down for us in Romans 12, how we're supposed to live. So here's what I want you to do. God's helping you. Take you every day, take your ordinary everyday life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking along life, and place it before God as an offering. We know out of King James, become a living sacrifice. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing He can do for Him, for you. 12:2. Wait for it. Don't have to wait anymore. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. Are we there? Are we there yet? No, we're not there. I'm not there. I can only speak where I'm at, but I'm shooting the arrows into the ground. For 30 years, I've been shooting these arrows into the ground. I've been pressing through. I want more of God. And I have to keep my disciplines unconquerable. And as I explained, once we've given into that, you got to repent, start all over. I'll read it another way. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Do you love God? Are you living? And again, living is not the law where we just check, oh, I got this going on, I got that going on. Yeah, God's really working. Check it off. It's how you live every day. It's your belief system. Every day. It requires sacrifice. If I love God, I must learn sacrifice. The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. See, somebody told the church that on Sundays or any time you get together to worship God, that's it. No. What is true worship is how we live our lives each and every day. This did not happen when I was out there, so I know it's a spiritual attack. In loving God this way, we actually fulfill the first one, love God. And we also understand the importance of our vertical relationship. God's in heaven, I am not. God is here, dwelling in me. God wants me to touch lives. He doesn't want us to not do the simple things. Looking for Him to lay hands on somebody so that they would be healed and raised up. He's looking for us to wrap our arms around each other Have compassion for each other. Love each other. Be a friend of people who don't know him. Understanding that they may not have heard the gospel, nor may they have understood really what the gospel means. Does the Lord have your heart? That is the question. It requires being totally having our affections focused on him. Our affections. Where are our affections located? They're located in our soul. And Rod was telling us yesterday that he sins. But his wife, Mary, keeps him accountable. And he goes to his wife and he says, "Mary, I've sinned." And she goes, "Rod, God loves you. But you got to start listening to me." 77 years old. God's not done with him yet. And if he's not done with someone who's that age, just think where you're at. Somehow we thought that this would be an instantaneous change. Well, that instantaneous change is when we're caught up with Jesus. Because the scripture says, as he is, we will be like him. All this nonsense will finish. To love God is not only to focus on him, but it is to love him with a warm and sincere love. How do we approach God? Oh, God's my Father. No problem. I can do whatever I want, you know. What Dad says is good for me is, where did he get the prodigal? And it says, until he came to himself. Is it taking pleasure in his ultimate work? You see, we really don't understand how glorious and good God is. And he's trying to get us to understand that the situations that we're in are training our hands for war, but also in that time is not to give up. We're victorious in everything through Christ. But he wants us to love, no matter if we're going through it. And I've said this myself, you know, the scripture says, count it all joy when you find yourself in various trials and tribulations. How can you rejoice when you're going through it? I need the Holy Spirit to teach me that. Tomorrow. Get it? Tomorrow. One of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do is work in your heart now. It says, today is the day of salvation. You're being saved from yourself. Eternal life is starting to spring into your flesh. Does he have your soul? Are you willing to give him your very life? Are you willing to go where people kill you and people eat you? That's not for me. I don't like anything that has the perchance to eat me. But if he tells me to go, I'll go. Well, yeah, it's kind of funny, humorous. You know, Irene says, you know, there are crocodiles in Georgia. And I said, yeah. She says, I don't want to go there. I said, well, you can go to the western part of the state. There's no crocodiles there. I said, I'm not afraid. Yeah. Does our worship generally reflect our inner desires and intentions? Or are we just going through the motions? I'm just lifting up my hands. I'm just shouting out, I love God. Because that tells you what your heart's all about. Are you sincere? Do you want to change? Or do you want to figure out what your next excuse is? God's not impressed with that. Do we love him with everything we got? As they use a football term, We've got to leave it on the field. If you don't leave it on the field, something wrong. If everybody else is leaving it on the field, what are you leaving? What's our approach? Does he have your mind? Are you fully involved with your intellect? Do you think about God 24/7? What's he doing? You know, are you walking and talking with him? I mean, the greatest scripture I like is the Old Testament, where Enoch walked with God and then was no more. God called him up. He was so filled with God that God said, come on, we'll have a private conversation up here. Is our faith fully being informed or based on blind trust? Do I rationalize everything? Or when I hear the voice of the Lord or something stirring in my spirit, I just go for it? I'm the person that, you know, I want to make sure it's God, and I want to make sure we can help you with that vision that God has spoken into your life. I mean, that's what brothers and sisters and fathers, spiritual fathers, do. We want you successful. And so does our Father in heaven. He wants everyone to be successful because you already are. When you receive Christ, you entered into victory. No more being a victim. You can stay a victim, and many do. And I'll just slowly move on. Is your mind being trained to think of his moral perfection or holiness? Do I spend my time thinking about God, or do I have a video game that's more important to me? Or fantasy football? Or what I want to spend my money on? Or fill in the blank, my time. What you hold most important to you, you will invest all those things at the expense of our relationship with God. Think about it. He should be our highest priority, not the lowest. And I don't want this sound to be condemning. I'm just trying to reveal how much work we've got to do just to get this right. Are you using all your strength? Do you strive to love God and serve God? Well, I can't make amends. I can't go to Band of Brothers. I can't. Tell me what you can do. I'm not interested in what you can't do. Tell me what you can do. And to some of you guys, I may sound like a broken record, but that's having a mind that's set on kingdom, not having a mind set on myself. Have I devoted my physical and material goods to him, to allow him to use as he sees fit? About our stuff again. But God said that, you know, he wants us to be happy. But God said that he wants us to live in good conditions and stuff. Yeah, God has said that. But what has he said to you recently to give up? To pay for someone else. Where I'm at is personal responsibility. What is our personal responsibility? We should hold nothing back from God. Nothing. I am reaping what I've been doing for 30 years as an example. And confess to you, I'm not there yet. But I'm starting to see the reaping of being generous. The reaping of putting people into my house that had no place to go. I am reaping the benefits of all those teachings for so many years are now starting to hit home. Because I keep shooting those arrows. Eventually, one of those arrows is going to hit the mark. Eventually, one of those arrows, God's going to steady my arm. And when I draw back, who knows what it's going to do. You are those arrows, whether you understand it or not. And I'm starting to rejoice in seeing the reality of the promises of God 30 years ago. Be manifested in my life today. Is your love for him capable of sustaining intense pressure against you when doubt arises? When someone disparagingly calls us, you call yourself a Christian? And everyone's piling on. How do you respond? God's my high tower. I share my testimony. I may have shaky knees, but they don't see that. They just are waiting. The world is waiting for truth. Are you going to share truth? Are you going to understand that bearing up under all costs, whether it's pressure in a family life, someone has done the dirty to us and we're so in love with that person that we're still asking the question why? I'd say fall in love with Jesus more and more. All that will go away and then he will bring you that person you're looking for. That you're a believer and the rest of your family are make believers. I call it the way I say it. The Bible says they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. To love God requires no leftovers. Are we willing to give him everything so that we can attain everything? Is he the object of our affections? That better be Jesus. No, it's not. Still love you, brother. You see, you will not grow past where you are. And that hurts our Father's heart. He wants us to grow to mature believers. I want to help you grow. I'm not into your excuses. I mean, most of these guys now know that Christ drives my car. I sit in the passenger seat. Those questions of why I do things have become their reality. They now understand. I have a purpose for my life and I will not be satisfied for anything less than its fulfillment. Then I will be able to say to my Father, I did all you showed me to do. And I did it to the best of my ability. Because what drives me is this one phrase. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I turn it over to Gary.